have something good at Crossroads? When you've got something good, you want to share it. You want to share it. You want to share it. And that's what my Bible study tonight is about. It's about sharing something that's worth sharing. Sharing something that's worth sharing. You know, when something wonderful happens to us, our natural response is, man, when something wonderful happens, I mean, you get the news that you're having a child. You know, someone proposes and they've slapped an engagement ring on your finger. You know, some incredible news. What do you want to do with the good news? You want to share it. It's an instinctive response for us to want to tell others about it. But more importantly, it should also include when we come to faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, that we have that desire, that zealousness to want to tell others about His Son, Jesus Christ. We possess God's Holy Spirit that lives inside of us as believers, and we should seek to glorify God, just like we sang, glorify God and magnify Jesus Christ by letting others know what He's done in our life, what He's done in our life. And that was the case with this man in John chapter number 1 by the name of Andrew. He believed on Christ, and then he started telling others about Jesus and then started bringing them to Jesus. Look at me at John chapter number 1, verse number 29. John chapter number 1. It says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. This is John the Baptist. And he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Go with me down a little further to verse number 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40 says this, look closely with me. It says, one of those two, speaking of verse 35, one of those two disciples, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was who? Andrew. And Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. Probably a lot of us are very familiar with Peter in the Bible, but maybe not so much Andrew. The John that's spoken of here in John chapter number 1 is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, earlier in chapter 1, tells us that he was preaching outside of a city known as Bethabara. And Bethabara was about 20 miles east of Jerusalem. And Andrew was a fisherman by trade, and he traveled to hear John the Baptist's message of, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew must have been pretty impressed with John's message about the coming Messiah, because in verse number 35 we just read, he became a disciple of John the Baptist. But this is important. John the Baptist knew and understood what his mission was. And his mission was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah and appoint people to Jesus. That was his job. That was his mission. You know, John the Baptist said of this, John the Baptist never tried to receive the glory. He never tried to magnify himself. But the Bible says in John 3:30, the words of John the Baptist were these. He said that, anybody know what that says before we get there? Right, John 3:30? Here you go. He's speaking of Jesus. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. John the Baptist knew his mission, and it was to point people to Jesus. Look with me at verse, let's look at a couple of verses here in verse number 27. Verse 27 in chapter number 1, once again. John the Baptist, the Bible says, It says, he it is who's coming after me. Speaking of Jesus, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Again, look at verse number 30. John the Baptist is still speaking. He said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. As with the case with Andrew, John did just that. John pointed Andrew to Jesus Christ. For when Jesus was walking by the next day, John pointed Andrew to Jesus. And verse 36 and 37 that we just read said Andrew followed him. In fact, Andrew, the Bible says in 39 and 40, it says Andrew spent the whole day with him. He says, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? And Jesus said, come in, see. And then the verse says that Andrew spent the day with him. Can you imagine spending the day with Jesus? Spending the day with Jesus. Andrew spent a whole day with Jesus. Right after that, Andrew became an awesome witness for Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse number 41. We finished off with verse 40, but I want to continue reading this passage. It's 41. After he spent the day with Jesus, abode with him for the day, verse 41 says, the first thing that Andrew did is he went out. Verse 41 says, he first findeth his own what? Brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And verse 42 says, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Andrew, in this passage, to me, does three things incredibly well. After spending the day with Jesus Christ, his life was changed. And what lessons can we learn from Andrew? Number one, Andrew sets an awesome example of telling others of Jesus. Telling others of Jesus. Once your life has been changed from the inside out by Christ, you naturally, as we said, want others to know. You don't want to be a Secret Service Christian. You want others to also be able to have what you have, to experience what you experience through the love and the awesomeness of Jesus Christ in your life. There are so many people out there in this world that need Jesus. And how are they going to know unless someone goes about and shares God's truth with them? We need believers. We need Christians here at Crossroads that have a desire for others to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need people here at Crossroads that have a burning passion to share God's truth with others. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking it doesn't matter what the outcome is. Regardless of the outcome, we're called to share Jesus Christ. Some people are going to reject, but some people are going to accept and receive. Those two things happened to some incredible people in the Bible that shared Christ. The Apostle Paul, during his ministry here on earth, the Bible says that he went and traveled to city after city after city after city after city. Some people rejected and didn't want to hear it, but many accepted Christ. For the people that rejected, did that stop Paul? It didn't stop Paul. Even Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, when he was on this earth, as he was sharing and as he was preaching and as he was teaching, there were those who would not believe. But as the case with Paul, as the case with Jesus Christ, as the case with others that we read about in Scripture, they kept pressing on. They kept sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Kept doing it, just as we should today. What I want to show you is I want to show you one verse on the screen, and this is from the Old Testament. And this is the story in the words of an Old Testament prophet named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, he was one of God's prophets, and he was a witness for God in the Old Testament, but he came to a point where he thought that people stopped listening to him speaking of the goodness and the greatness of God. And he became so discouraged, man, and he said, that's it, I'm no longer going to speak to anybody about God because people are rejecting him. Look what he said here in Jeremiah 20, verse 8 and 9. He says, the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah says, I'm done with this. But notice what happens next. Jeremiah says, but his what? But God's word was in mine what? Was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not stay. You know, people were not listening to Jeremiah as he was sharing God's word, and he was ready to give up, but he said that God's word was in his heart like a burning fire, and he couldn't keep it inside. And that's how God's word should be in us, and that's how it should flow through us. It should be like a burning fire. It should be like, you know, it was like Jeremiah was trying to put a lid on an erupting volcano. And he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. That lava is just going to blow right through that lid, and I can't stop it. And that should be our desire as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to have that desire to share God's word as a burning fire that's inside of us. Even though a lot of the times believers are referred to as trophies of God's grace, normally what you do is, what do you do with a trophy? You put it on a shelf. But you know what? I don't think God's intention was to put these trophies and have them sit on shelves. As being trophies of God's grace, yeah, we're supposed to be on display, but we're not supposed to be sitting on shelves. God saved us for a reason, and God's kept us here for a reason. And the reason that God's kept us here is to be ambassadors and proclaimers of his word. But he didn't leave you alone to do it. The Bible says that when you got saved, he put inside you and energized you with his Holy Spirit to help you do it. You're never alone to do it. Andrew sets a great example of telling others of Christ, number one. But number two, Andrew sets an awesome example of bringing people to Christ, bringing people to Jesus. You see, when someone gets saved, that conversion experience is a relational experience. It's not simply changing your thought process. It's not that simple. It's not as simple as coming to a new thinking pattern, although that's a part of it. It's coming into a loving and an internal relationship with a person. God came to this earth, and God put on human flesh, and he had interaction with people, And it seems like Andrew got this. He saw it, and he experienced this firsthand, and he spent a day with Jesus. Andrew went out after spending the day with Jesus, and he went out and told others about Christ, and he brought them to him. Look with me once again at verse number 41. It says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And verse 42 says that he did what? He brought him to Jesus. You know, as I read that verse, I was catching something that I never really caught before. And I never really thought about this. But who did Andrew, after Andrew spent the day with Christ, and he is now a follower of Jesus Christ, it says he first findeth, the first person that he went to was who? Was to his brother. And I thought that was interesting that Andrew, you know, he didn't head out to a street corner to preach to a crowd of strangers. The first person he went to preach to was his family. He went to preach to his brother. He found his brother, and he brought his brother to the Lord. And I thought that was a good lesson. You know, in another account in Scripture, just a few chapters later, there was a group of Greeks who desired to see Jesus. And there was a guy, and you'll never guess who it is, that desired to bring them to Jesus. And guess who that person was? It was Andrew. In John 12, you can read about that. Andrew seemed like a guy who people knew, who desired to help people connect with Jesus. And that should be said of us. Can that be said of you? In another passage in John chapter number 6, we read about Andrew again. And in John chapter number 6, you might remember this story. It's probably one of the most familiar passages in Scripture. It's known as the feeding of the 5,000. And in John chapter number 6, we see where Jesus sees a hungry crowd of over 5,000 people, 500 men plus the women and children that were before him. And he asks, not Andrew, but he asks Philip. And he says, Philip, he says, how are we going to feed all these people? And Philip basically threw up his hands. And he looks around and sees 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 10,000, 15,000 people. And Philip's reaction, his answer was this. He says, 200 penny worth of bread. He said, that won't even be sufficient, even if everybody just took a little bit of that. That's not going to be enough. After Philip was asked that of Jesus, that question, somebody else speaks up. And this person wasn't even asked, but he spoke up. And guess who the person was that spoke up? It was Andrew, the guy that's focused on people. And Andrew notices a young boy. This is one of those things, too, you miss. And then you read it, and read it, and read it, and you catch it. And it's Andrew that notices this young lad, and he says this. He says, there's a young lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And we know the rest of the story of what Jesus did with that small quantity of food. But Andrew's response shows something of his faith. When others saw hopelessness in that situation, like Philip, Jesus says, Philip, what are we going to do? We got 5,000 plus people here that are hungry. Where do we go? We can get 200 penny worth, but it's barely going to feed anybody. When others saw hopelessness in that situation, Andrew could envision possibilities. He could envision opportunities. How about us? Are you a pessimist? Or are you an optimist? Because you can see and you can view your problems as possibilities. You can view your problems as opportunities. Andrew saw this problem of feeding 5,000 plus people not the same way that Philip did with hopelessness. But he saw it as an opportunity. A ministry like Andrew's is one that we all can have, because God intended for the gospel to go out to the whole world, one person at a time. If you look with me on the screen, there's a great verse from Colossians 1:28, and it says this. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Andrew set a great example for us of telling others, number one, of Jesus, but also number two, bringing others to Jesus. And then lastly, number three, of seeing others that he brought to Jesus greatly serve him. Man, let me ask you this question. How many of y'all can think, by a show of hands, how many of y'all can think of the person that led you to Jesus Christ? Y'all can think of that person that led you to Jesus Christ. Good. So can I. I still remember the man that led me to the Lord. I was 8 years old, and it was on the porch of this building. We had Sunday school outside. It was Sunday school class. After class, I just felt the Lord just, you know, to me, Sunday school as a kid was just, you know, it wasn't a serious time, to be honest with you. I mean, we would have, like, Bible quiz time every week, and the answer to every question the teacher asked, I always had the same answer, and the answer was always Nicodemus. To every question. Nicodemus, 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 Nicodemus. And finally, one Sunday, guess what the right answer was? Nicodemus. And to me, it was playtime. But one day, after class, man, I had this conviction in my heart and of my sin, and I knew that I was not right with the Lord, and I wanted to get right. And he stayed with me after class, and he led me to the Lord. I still remember that day very vividly, and that man's gone home to be with the Lord today. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking for us to think about the person that led us to the Lord. And is our life today a shining testimony of that person's investment in our life? Would that person be proud of our life in Christ today? Would our life bring glory to God? Does our life honor the person that led us to the Lord? And I was correlating that back to Andrew. Andrew left a great legacy here on this earth, where the work of the Lord multiplied through his ministry. Just think about it. Back in John chapter 1, verse 41, we read that he brought his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. And it was Peter, the one that Andrew brought to the Lord, that went on and preached. And we read so much about Peter in Scripture that Peter went on and preached at Pentecost, where it says about 300 souls gladly received God's word. You know, Peter is even credited for writing at least 2 books of the Bible. But Andrew is the guy that was behind the scenes that led him to Jesus, that brought him to Jesus. You know, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. And as we think about that story, very few people know or even can recall Andrew's role that day that we just read. When you think about the story of the feeding of the 5,000, who usually is the person that's focused on in that story? It's Jesus, and it's the little boy who gladly gave his lunch. Most people will not remember Andrew, but it was Andrew that pointed that little boy out with the bread and the fish. Andrew that did that. What's the point? The point is this: when we befriend those who come to Jesus, they might have a greater impact than we do. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, because we're all on the same team. Amen? Man, I shouldn't be jealous because so-and-so preaches better than I do, which there's a lot of guys that do. I shouldn't be jealous because so-and-so leads more people to Jesus than I do, because this person disciples more people than I do, because this person gives more money to the church than I do. We're all on the same team. We should all simply do what we can do according to the ability that God has given us. That's what the Bible teaches. Look with me at 1 Peter on the screen. Chapter number 4. It says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the what? The ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and the dominion forever and ever and ever. God has blessed people with talents to serve him. And some of you are like Andrew. You're behind the scenes people, and we see you throughout the week here serving, where nobody can see you except the Lord. We see you here praying in the evenings when it's dark outside and there's nobody in here but just a handful of people. God sees you. You're behind the scenes people. You're people that talk to people outside of these four walls one-on-one. You're relational people like Andrew, inviting them to church, serving the Lord behind the scenes, doing things like that. And some of you are like Peter. Some of you are serving in more visible, more public roles. But we need both. They're both good. They're both right. Andrew was an incredible, awesome witness for Jesus Christ. So my challenge for you as I close is this, is in 2015, strive to be an Andrew. Tell others of Jesus. You might say, Pastor Rich, I don't know if I've done a good job of that in 2014. I don't know how many people that I've told about Jesus at work, at school, in my neighborhood. I don't know how, man, I don't know if I can count on one hand the number of people I've told about Jesus. Strive to be an Andrew. Tell others about Jesus in 2015. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid, because the gospel is powerful. Paul wrote, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation. It's powerful to everyone that believeth. Number two, don't just tell them of Jesus, but bring them to Jesus. Pastor Rich, I don't know if I invited one person to church in 2014. I don't know if I invited anybody to walk through Bethlehem or some other event in which they would hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I, and if I did, strive to be an Andrew. Tell others of Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. And then, lastly, is this. You'll never know. You will never know. But some may get saved.